The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Barbara Yakubu and Eugenia Asumedusechi. In the headlines, leadership of teachers expressed satisfaction with outcome of meeting with President Mahama. Forum of former MPs say they are ready to take up mediation rules in issues of national concern. Minister for the Interior asks frontline institutions to promote inter-agency collaboration to confront challenges of illegal immigration. GJA goes to the polls today to elect new executive, and leadership of rebel forces in Central African Republic dissolves parliament and suspends constitution, says the summary by Eugenia.
Striking teachers are likely to suspend their one-week-old industrial action as they wait for government to address their demands. This follows a closed-door meeting President Mahama had with the teacher unions and the CEO of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. At a meeting, the president indicated the government's commitment to sit in dialogue with public sector workers on all their grievances. The Forum of former MPs have offered to help in mediating issues of national concern. The group made the offer in a news release that also called on striking teachers to return to the classroom. The Forum of former MPs is sure its expertise will come handy in issues as the teachers' strikes. The Minister of Interior, Kwesi Ahoy, has asked frontline institutions to promote inter-agency collaboration to confront challenges of illegal immigration. He also called on immigration officers to be vigilant in their work to deter undesirable elements from entering the country. Mr. Ahoy was speaking at a forum to present ICT equipment to the Ghana Immigration Service in Accra. New leaders for Ghanaian journalists will be elected today to steer affairs of the Ghana Journalist Association. The elections will be held at various centres across the country, including the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Ubunu FM, the Graphic Communications and the Press Centre. And rebel forces in Central African Republic have dissolved the country's parliament and suspended the constitution. Leader of the rebel groups, Michel Djotodia, says the country will be in a transition period until credible and transparent elections are held in 3 years. The ousted leader, Francois Bozizé, has fled to neighboring Cameroon.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. The leadership of teachers have expressed satisfaction with the outcome of a closed-door meeting with President John Mahama and the chief executive of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission at the Flagstaff House at Kanda in Accra. Briefing the media, the president of NAT, Samuel Alubia, said teachers are likely to suspend their one-week-old strike and wait for the government to address their demands.
The president is but one executive of the state. There's no way we can defy his orders. Orders were compelling us, but now that the president himself has come in, we want to give it a try, go to our council, explain to them, express the sentiment of the president to them, and the commitment is what the president has said. The president has accepted that they will ensure that the institutions involved will play their part so that the rest of the issues will be solved. We are very, very optimistic that with the president himself being involved, we are hopeful that at the end of the day, we'll get the fair share of our needs. As for calling off, it will depend. When you postpone it, then later we realize that the promise is not fulfilled, then we'll later advise ourselves. And then ask that we suspend it for a while, and if the demand is not met, then we get back.
You have the president of NAT, Samuel Alubia.
Meanwhile, Ting says it will meet with its council tomorrow to discuss calls by the president to suspend the strike. Its president Peter Lumo told Radio Ghana that the union is prepared to go back to the negotiation table with the GES and Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to iron out the issues. He commended government for the meeting, acknowledging the union's happiness that the president appreciates that in the GES there are teaching and non-teaching staff.
We have always said this, that the bodies that matter, if they call up to the table and show their goodwill to negotiate. Why? We are trade union. So we'll sit down and negotiate. So the unions in the GE are prepared to go to the table to negotiate, provided the other side is prepared to negotiate. Why not?
How soon you'll be going back to your membership or to your council to consult and take a decision?
We in Teu will meet our councils on Wednesday.
How would you describe the general atmosphere in the meeting?
I think it was cordial.
Mm-hmm.
For us in Teu, at least, one thing that I felt over there, I listened to the president very carefully. And when the president was talking, he didn't talk about only teachers. He talked about teachers and non-teachers. So at least he recognizes that in the GE, there are teachers and there are non-teachers in the Ghana Education Service. At least for me, I told that meeting that I was happy the president recognized that.
So all along, you think you've been left behind when considering the issues of teachers?
That has been our complaint from the beginning. And at this meeting, we repeated the same thing. That look, when you are talking about GES, it is not only teachers that are in the Ghana Education Center. We have the non-teaching staff also who plays critical role in education delivery in the Ghana Education Service. Everybody must recognize that. So you are solving problems in the Ghana Education Service. You must look at the other side. Does it affect non-teaching staff? It affects them, address them. We will not have these problems that we are having.
I think from the spirit with which you are even talking shows that you are prepared to go back immediately. Would you be calling your members to start doing something in the interim as you prepare for your council meetings, because all the parties are prepared to sit and negotiate now?
We told the president that we have to go back to our council. We have structures and we must go through those structures to discuss, tell them his appeal, and we'll find a way forward.
That was the president of Teu, Peter Lumo. In a related development, the Public Relations Office of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, El Ankra, says the commission is ready to dialogue with Teu and urge them to bring their complaints before it. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Ankra said the commission has done all it can to resolve the grievances of Teu, but they keep coming back with the same issue.
Issues concerning retention premiums. And those retention premiums are supposed to go to specific skills within Teu. We gave them, and they said we should consider two other skills. We said, okay, go find out what those skills are and bring them back to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. They came back with 22 skills. Fair Wages will not honor that. I mean, it's a no-go area.
Normally, how many skills do you use?
There are certain skills within the teaching profession that we were supposed to give a retention premium. So we had to bend around to find, honor some of those skills for them. I don't really want to go into the details of mentioning who is what and who is who. Because the challenge of this particular thing is not about what to say, but what not to say out there in public. But then we have done what we are supposed to do for Teu, and they keep coming back with the same thing. And if the moment we bend the rules of the single spine, it's going to have ripple effects all across board. So, yeah, we've done what we are supposed to do for Teu. They will come back 10 times to the same issues. We are going to give them the same answer 10 times over.
Yeah. Please, before we even proceed from there, don't you see that then Teu has got a challenge, and maybe to make matters short and for everybody to be happy, you can assign someone to even assist them in doing the right things?
Well, they know it isn't as if some of these labor groups or leadership. That's the thing. Sometimes we speak and it's about teachers and all that, but it's just the leadership. They know the issues. They know the truth of the matter. But you can't go to your rank and file and promise them heaven and earth and come to say, this is a gun on our head saying, fulfill the promises we have made. No, everything must work within the single spine structure, and that's how it's supposed to be.
In this case, you are waiting for them to make a presentation again.
Of course, the doors are open. They can bring up any concerns they have. But if it's about the same concerns, they are going to receive the same answers.
We earlier spoke to the president of Teu, and he was talking about the fact that their concerns are just the same as what the teachers had presented. So it wasn't quite different. What is the remarkable change in what they brought that you think cannot be taken on, looking at the single spine?
Well, if they are really, really sure, if he said specifically that their concerns are the same as the concerns that and that, then we don't have a problem anymore. Then those issues are they going to discuss when we get back to the table. Then case closed. Then Teu does not have the point anymore, and I'm happy to hear that.
There was a public relations officer of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, El Ankra, talking to Kingsley Obinchwe. The Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Ernest Aiti, says the university has to internationalize in a carefully considered and structured way to avoid being marginalized in an increasingly globalized academic environment. The Vice Chancellor emphasized the need for the numerous memoranda of understanding signed between the University of Ghana and various international universities to be taken seriously. Professor Ernest Aiti expressed the sentiments at the International Day lecture as part of events to mark the 60th anniversary of the university in Accra. Here's a report by Babo Otu and Father Blaise Atachi.
The University of Ghana started as a college of the University of London in 1948. Currently, the university has signed over 400 Memoranda of Understanding, MOU, with various universities on staff and student exchange programs, joint graduate research collaboration and internship programs. The Vice Chancellor, Professor Ernest Aiti, said the University of Ghana is committed to producing graduates with global perspective and also generate additional income from foreign students.
This university has more than 400 agreements with various universities. The most use of international programs spend their time negotiating memoranda of understanding. Sometimes they lead to some useful outcomes. At most times, we have a show. Every now and again, we pick them up. About 2 months ago, we received a visit from the president of the University of Washington, Mr. Lewis. He came here with a very strong delegation to see how best we could work together in the area of medical science. We spent a whole day on new collaborations that will take place in the area of teaching and research. So it shows you how much emphasis we may need to pay to making this MOU that we signed actually yield something for us. That's what I call the new internationalization, the new wave of internationalization which is propelled by globalization.
Speaking to Radio Ghana, Professor Aiti mentioned some programs adapted by the university to meet the challenges of internationalization.
We are building partnerships with some of the best universities in the world. This will ensure that when we take on PhD students, for example, they'll be able to do in Ghana anything that they're able to do as they travel to Europe or to America. Many. We would like definitely to get some more support from the government.
Some foreign students from the sub-region expressed varied views about their experience at the university.
That report was filed by Babo Otu and Father Blaise Atachi. The Forum of Former MPs says it is ready to take up mediation roles in issues of national concern. The president of the forum, Kwasi Kedem, said the group, which is bipartisan, will bring expertise to bear on issues that affect the nation, just as the teachers' strike. As a way forward, he asked government to remove the bureaucracy associated with the payment of salaries.
The problem is government doesn't listen and act promptly. Mm-hmm. And if you wait, you wait, you wait till the beans spilt, then problems. We issued a statement on this strike because we are highly concerned for our nation. And our prime objective is to see our country develop and develop quickly. This didn't happen yesterday. Mm-hmm. These strikes, teacher strikes, have been on and on and on. And what has government done about it? Right? Mm-hmm. We talked about bureaucracy. And that is what destroys everything.
That was the president of the former MPs Forum, Kwasi Kedem. Vice President of the Forum, BDK Edu, also gave the assurance that they are ready to assist government in addressing issues regarding the single spine pay policy.
We have been following this event, and we have now come out because we have some insights into what is happening. But previously, I don't think we have the capacity and then the wherewithal to intervene in the situation. The migration of the workers onto the single pie is the main problem. According to the Secretariat, about 99% of them have been migrated. But it is the ancillary subject like allowances and placement and things like that that have to be ironed out.
That was the Vice President of the Forum of Former MPs, BDK Edu. Parliament has approved 4,412,000,000
695,000 Ghana cedis for the Ministry of Education to implement its programs and activities this year. The education sector is the biggest beneficiary of the 2013 budget estimates, with 53.7% increase over the last year's allocation. Presenting the report on the budgetary estimates for the ministry on the floor of the House yesterday, the chairman of Education Committee, Matthias Poza, said the ministry requested more than 6 billion but has been allocated only 4 billion, creating a shortfall of over 2 billion. This, he noted, will impact negatively on the programs and activities of the ministry. The estimates for government machinery and other institutions have also been approved. Here's a report by Dominic Lodge and Augustus Akwe from Parliament.
Notwithstanding the shortfall in the allocation to the Ministry of Education, the chairman of the Education Committee in Parliament, Matthias Poza, said the ministry will continue to focus on increasing equitable access to education, increase quality of teaching and learning, and improve management of education in the country. Out of the figure for education, a little over 146,000 Ghana cedis has been provided for the programs and activities of the National Service Scheme, contributing to the debate for the approval of 312,345,000 Ghana cedis for the running of government machinery. The ranking member on finance, Dr. Anthony Akotose, identified some discrepancies in the 2012 expenditure of the Savannah Accelerated Development Authority, SADA. He wondered why about 15 million Ghana cedis was spent on a guinea fowl project. The member for Efutu, Alexander Fenyon Markin, added his voice to the guinea fowl debate, and this brought the Majority Chief Whip, Mohamed Mubarak Muntaka, and the Deputy Minority Leader, Dominic Nitiwu, to their feet.
12 million Ghana cedis was also invested into guinea fowl projects. Mr. Speaker, if government is making investments through SADA to help alleviate poverty, we all support it. That the specifics ought to be finished for all of us to satisfy ourselves that indeed these are proper investments, there are no diversions, and these are investments that the return will yield positive results.
Yeah. Majority Chief, the colleague is misleading the general public. Mr. Speaker, to term the guinea fowl activity as not proper project. Mr. Speaker, if he tries to know, in the north, it is as important as the fish pond in the south. It is as important as poultry in Kumasi and Accra. So it is never an improper investment. So he should get the facts right.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, the member never said investing in guinea fowl is improper.
Mr. Speaker, it's very important because of the sensitivity of the way he began it by looking at the north and the south. That's why I got up. The member says that investing 12 million, the details should be made clear. When you invest 12 million on a guinea fowl farm and the project is not budgeted for in 2013, that's why the member is saying that the details should be brought. The member never says it's not important.
The minority members who participated in the debate questioned the excess expenditure of the institutions and agencies under the presidency. The chairman of the Finance Committee, James Aveji, noted that most agencies under the government machinery do not have any direct ministerial supervision. This situation, he observed, is making accountability and parliamentary oversight duties difficult. To ensure proper accountability and effective oversight for such agencies,
a report by Dominic Lodge and Augustus Akwe from Parliament.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Leadership of teachers expressed satisfaction with outcome of meeting with President Mahama. Forum of former MPs ready to take up mediation roles in issues of national concern. Minister of the Interior asks frontline institutions to promote inter-agency collaboration to confront challenges of illegal immigration. GJA goes to the polls today to elect new executive, and leader of rebel forces in Central African Republic dissolves parliament and suspends constitution. Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information. Welcome back.
Ghanaian journalists will be electing a new leadership today amidst a barrage of challenges confronting the profession. An example is the multiplicity of half-baked journalists in recent times operating in what is described as low remuneration and motivation. The Ghana Journalist Association, GJA, has the mandate to improve the standard of professionalism in the media, encourage truth and protect freedom of expression. Rebecca Ekwe has more.
The Ghana Journalist Association, then called African Press Association, came into being on August 15, 1949, at a time when politics in the then British colony of the Gold Coast was at its peak. The psyche of many media practitioners and ordinary citizens was inundated with the nationalist struggle. Notably, a number of nationalist leaders such as Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and Dr. J.B. Dankwa were journalists who employed the power of the pen to propagate their ideas and vision of independence for the then Gold Coast. After a series of transformations over the years as a result of Ghana's political trajectory, the GJA took a major step towards legal recognition. In 1989, it got registered as a professional body in accordance with the provisions of the Professional Bodies Registration Decree 143. The promulgation of the 1992 Constitution gave boost to media practitioners and the association. Chapter 12 of the Constitution guarantees the freedom and independence of the media. The GJA, through the microscope of the constitutional provisions, pursued the aims and objectives of the association. Topmost on its agenda is to promote professionalism and higher journalistic standards, promote and strengthen the contribution of members to democracy and good governance. Above all, respect and defend freedom of expression, a pluralistic media, and universal access to information. The GJA Code of Ethics is a ready guide applicable to members in the state-owned media, private media, and local freelance journalists. As the fourth estate of the realm, the public expects the media to play a watchdog role with a high sense of responsibility without infringing on the rights of individuals and society. Well echoed by the outgoing president of the GJA, Ransford Tete, when he said, "After 19 years of the Fourth Republic, we in the media no longer have a legitimate excuse to be perpetrators of mediocrity or have justification to make our infractions an occupational hazard for the practice of democracy." As the GJA goes to the polls, Afro Money, outgoing vice president, currently vying for the position of president and opposed, said the elections should represent a quest to work more at higher journalistic standards.
That piece was put together by Rebecca Ekpe.
The Minister of Interior, Kwesi Ahoy, has attributed the recent spate in illegal immigration to lack of logistics at the Ghana Immigration Service to check the influx of undesirable foreigners. Speaking at a function to present ICT equipment to the GIS in Accra, Mr. Ahoy called on immigration officers to be vigilant in their work to deter undesirable elements from entering the country. He also urged them to appreciate the importance of inter-agency collaboration as it could distend the challenges faced by the unit.
The Nkonya and Alavanya conflict has become a source of worry to concerned citizens all over the country. The president of the Youth Africa and Agriculture NGO, Emmanuel Ashibi, said government needs to take over the land in dispute and use it for agriculture purposes to feed the nation. He said there is no way the land should be placed under injunction for so long without it being used.
Meanwhile, the DCE for Ho South, Samuel Awade, said no development can thrive in conflict. The two sides should therefore cease any kind of confrontation for development to take place in the area.
A nursing administrator at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital, Nitek Otego, has cautioned psychiatric nurses not to allow patients to suffer because of lack of adequate hands and logistics. He said there is a need for nurses to address psychiatric cases proactively. He cited the absence of maternal health board as one of the challenges the mental health sector faces and called on government to facilitate the formation of a board. Nitek Otego said at a seminar organized for psychiatric nurses in Accra.
An Accra Fast Track High Court has ordered the state to pay entitlements due former Auditor General Edward Diagemine. The presiding judge, Peter Derry, granted all claims requested by the former Auditor General in his suit against the state, except an order for the provision of free medical and dental care for himself and his spouse. Following his retirement from the audit service on May 19, 2011, Mr. Diagemine says he has made efforts to claim the gratuity and pension due him, but had been persistently denied. Correspondent Amasewa Bidiaku filed this report.
By the release granted, the former Auditor General Edward Diagemine is entitled to the payment of gratuity and pension in accordance with the recommendations of the report on the review of facilities and privileges for Article 71 office holders in 2008. He is entitled to the payment of a monthly pension equivalent to the sum being the salary of the Auditor General currently at post with effect from May 2010 when he retired to the 15th of June 2012 when he filed the writ, as well as interest on the monthly pension at the prevailing bank rate. Government will also pay a monthly pension after the commencement of the suit equivalent to Mr. Diagemine's salary as adjusted from time to time in accordance with the salary of the current Auditor General, which is equivalent to that of a Justice of the Court of Appeal, as it is the case of Mr. Diagemine's predecessor. He is also due a gratuity consisting of 3 months' salary for every year of service and benefits from any review of the conditions of pension payable to a former holder of the position of Auditor General, as will be determined by the report of any presidential committee on emoluments of Article 71 office holders. Irrespective of general damages incurred by Mr. Diagemine as a result of undue hardships he suffered due to government's persistent refusal to accord him his constitutional entitlements, Justice U.P. Derry awarded a 10,000 Ghana Cedi cost against the state. The judge, however, rejected Mr. Diagemine's claim to the provision of free medical and dental facilities for himself and his spouse. In an amended statement of claim, the former Auditor General asserts that upon receipt of a letter in October 2010 from the Deputy Chief of Staff, Dr. Valerie Sawyer, informing him of government's decision not to pay him his retirement benefits in accordance with Article 71, Clause 1 of the 1992 Constitution because he was described as a political appointee in the said letter, he made several requests to the government to reconsider its decision. He argued that the office he held between January 30, 2003 and May 19, 2010 is not a political appointment since the audit service is part of the public service.
That was Amasewa Bidiaku's report.
A 25-year-old fisherman, Isaac Mensah alias Pedo, has been sentenced to 90 years in prison in hard labor by an Accra Circuit Court for robbery. Mr. Mensah was tried in 2 separate cases by the court presided over by Francis Ubri. He was handed 50 years in one of the cases and 40 years in the other case. The sentences will run concurrently. Mr. Mensah was convicted and accordingly sentenced after changing his plea from not guilty to guilty.
Government is to transform the Ghana Meteorological Agency in order to compete with other agencies in the world. In this regard, government will provide the agency with the necessary equipment to be able to fulfill its mandate of providing accurate forecasts. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Omane Buama, announced this at a forum in Accra to commemorate this year's World Meteorological Day.
On the foreign front, coup makers in the Central African Republic have suspended the country's constitution and dissolved parliament. Coup leader Michel Djotodia said there will be a transition period until credible and transparent elections are held. He added that he will uphold a peace deal that promises elections in 3 years.
And Congolese warlord Bosco Ntaganda will today make his first public appearance before the International Criminal Court in The Hague. He has been evading arrest on war crimes charges for 7 years. He unexpectedly gave himself up to diplomats at the U.S. Embassy in Rwanda last week, demanding to be handed over to the ICC. At today's hearing, Ntaganda will be asked to confirm his identity.
Then the news and main points again. Leadership of the various teacher unions have given strong indications that they will heed the appeal by President Mahama to call off the strike. Former members of parliament have expressed their readiness to take up mediation rules in issues of national concern. Journalists across the country will today go to the polls to elect new leaders to steer the affairs of the GJA. The elections will take place at centres nationwide, including GBC, Obonu FM, Graphic Communications Group, the Press Centre and all regional capitals. And rebel forces in the Central African Republic have dissolved the country's parliament and suspended the constitution following the overthrow of government of President Francois Bozizé. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Asumedu-Sechi in Accra.